Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
I'm sure if the President of the United States or the Governor of this state were to call you and ask you to have dinner with them, you'd find a way to do that. You'd find a way to be with people who you think have something to say you need to hear, or people that you would want to know personally and be acquainted with. The most powerful person in the universe has issued public invitations to all of us who are born again. What have you done with them? How excited are you about them? These are great invitations. They bring great peace and great joy to you if you'll but understand them and respond to them and accept God's invitations.
Each one of us has been given invitations from the God of the universe. Today, Dr. Wood reminds us of 6 invitations that God has extended to His children. If you have a Bible at hand, you may want to turn to Dr. Wood's text, 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Here now with today's message is the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the first chapter of 1 John. I was sitting in church here Sunday morning, and I got to thinking a lot about invitations. And as I was reading through my devotions in the Bible, invitations from God kept jumping out at me. I began to think about invitations we have in our lives and how important they are to us. As you go through life, you're going to receive a lot of invitations. You'll receive some invitations from important people and from well-known people. You'll receive some invitations from people who just want to make friends with you, asking you to go somewhere or be somewhere with them, get involved with them. I guess the first thing you think about when you receive an invitation, who issued it? And then, do I really want to be with them? Do I want to go to wherever it is they've invited me to go? And then what will we do when we get there? And I guess you consider, what will it require of me when you receive these invitations? And then you'll say, is it worth it? And my mind began to wander. I guess when you get old, you start thinking about the past because you know you have more past than you do future. About all the wonderful invitations I've had in life, the great preachers and ministers of the gospel I've had an opportunity to meet and fellowship with. The important people I've had an opportunity to meet personally, 3 presidents in my lifetime. I consider that a great privilege. And yet, the most powerful person in the universe has issued public invitations to all of us who are born again. I don't know whether we don't know they're there or whether we just don't pay any attention to them, but we don't respond to these invitations as we should respond. The direction of your life. The God that we know and serve as Christians has issued us numerous invitations to come walk with me. Think about that. The direction of your life. If you are going where God is going, the direction of your life will be right. Here in 1 John chapter 1, listen to verse 5 through 7. This is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. An invitation to walk with God. These invitations are all through the Bible. Psalm 56:13. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. And wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk with God in the light of the living? Before, in the presence of God, personally with God. Think about that for just a minute. The God that created the universe, the God who's omniscient, that knows everything, the God that's everywhere at one time, has invited you to walk with Him. Psalm 23:4. David said, "Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What a wonderful place to walk with God. Exodus 3:12, when Moses was called on to go deliver the children of Israel, he was very reluctant and he had many arguments. And God said to him in the 3rd chapter in the 12th verse, "Surely I will go with thee." That's all Moses needed. Well, if you'll go with me, God, then I'll go. Romans 8 tells us to walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What direction is your life going? Have you accepted the invitation from our great God to walk with Him? Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch walked with God and he was no more, for God took him. Well, what is this all about, accepting this invitation? Do you want to be with God? Well, I think all of you would say, yeah, that'd be nice. But what's it going to require of you? Then we say, wait a minute, that's where the rubber meets the road. There's certain invitations we turn down because it requires too much from us. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And the answer to that question is pretty obvious. You have friends that you're close to and other people you know, but you're not that close to. Those that you want to be with, those that you are with. But I guarantee you, you don't want to be with those with whom you disagree. You don't want to be with those who take a different approach to life than you take and maybe are argumentative with you about what you do and where you go. If you're going to accept the invitation to walk with God, and it starts with salvation, goes on to sanctification, the more you walk with Him, the more you come close to Him and go away from the world, as did Enoch. As you accept that invitation, it greatly changes your life. But you can't walk with Him unless you agree with Him. Now, we have a little problem here. We are always trying to get other people to agree with us. And I think that slips over into the Christian's relationship with God. If I can just get God to agree with me, if I can get God to agree that this music's all right, or this movie may be okay for me, or this place to go, or this particular entertainment that I want to get involved in would be all right, then I'll go with God. But if God doesn't agree with me, maybe it's not worth the effort to go with Him. See, my young friends, the invitation to walk with God is not an invitation to walk with Him on your criteria. It's an invitation to walk with Him where He's going, the way He's going, and to fellowship with Him. And there is no darkness in Him, this passage tells us. He'll make the way clear for us. He'll take us in the right path. Do you really believe that most Christians today are walking daily with God? Well, I might turn it around and ask you as a Christian, are you walking daily with God? If you are, you're going to come out in the right place. You're going to be at the right place at the right time. That's going to have to do with every area of your life. If you're in agreement with God and you're walking with God, I suggest to you that we stop arguing with God and get in agreement with somebody omniscient and walk with Him at His invitation. I can just imagine having someone important call us, like the President of the United States, and we say, "Well, now here's the conditions on which I'll fellowship with you, Mr. President. I don't like to eat early. Let's start the meal about 8. I hate fish. Let's don't have fish. I'd prefer to have steak. I'm from the South. Be sure we have sweet tea. Because I know Northern people don't sweeten their tea. They just haven't learned yet." And you begin to lay down all the criteria with which you'll accept the invitation to be with a man of this power. And you know, you can't have instant access to the President of the United States. You can't be with him when you want to. You can't call tonight and say, "George, I think I'm coming up for dinner. Would you set a place at the table for me?" You see, he's limited. as to how many people he can see and how many people he can talk to. But the God of the universe does not have any such limitations. He can see everybody. He can talk to everyone. He can fellowship individually with everyone at one time. These are the things about God that go beyond our human comprehension. You can walk with God if there's no unconfessed, unjudged sin in your life. Boy, what a great trip you'll have. I had real enjoyment thinking back about those nights in the dugout 60 years ago. And the people I met, the things I did, and the friends I made. Are you taking advantage of your invitation to walk with God? Are you as excited about His invitations as you would be about the invitation of some great sports figure or some renowned politician or business magnate? You have that invitation if you're born again. It's clear in the Scripture. You have numerous invitations about the dialogues of life. Who are you going to talk to? Well, God has issued an invitation to all of us. Come talk with me. This is our prayer life. The Apostle Paul said, I love this so much. I pray without ceasing. I keep the door open to God all the time. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He was so excited about his invitation to talk with God. Think of all the people in this world you'd like to have an opportunity to sit down and talk to face to face as an individual. And yet the omniscient, omnipotent God of heaven has invited you to talk to Him. He's even told you you can boldly approach the throne of grace. I consider this a wonderful invitation. An exciting invitation. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What an invitation. John 14:13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jeremiah 29:12. Then shalt ye call upon me and ye shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken to you, and you shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. An invitation with a promise. Let me ask you about your prayer life. Who is it you really want to talk to? Who is it you're dying to meet and have a conversation with? And yet every one of you that are born again have an invitation to boldly approach the throne of God and talk to Him at any time you want to. Let me ask you, young person, about your prayer life. How much time do you spend in prayer? How easy we, as praying people, fall into the vain repetitions of the heathen, who in their religion pray also. But we just kind of repeat the same prayers. I got under great conviction the other night. I was praying, talking to the Lord, but I really wasn't concentrating on the Lord. And I found myself praying for my mother and dad. My mother and dad are in heaven. My dad died 5 years ago. Now that's a thoughtless prayer. That's just a prayer that I'd often prayed when they were alive. But it shows you how little I was thinking about my opportunity to dialogue with God, to come and talk to Him. These are the important things about being a Christian, who you walk with, who you talk with. Can you honestly say you're excited about the privilege of talking to God? The Lord God of the universe? You should be. This book is real. These are real invitations. These are true things. I'll tell you another one. The dedication of life. Come work with me. Pretty interesting thought. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are all laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. We are co-laborers with God. We're told again in Galatians. What are you going to dedicate your life to? What's your life work going to be? You're all going to do something. And no doubt, as college-age young people, you're thinking about your career and you're thinking about your work and you're thinking about your job. Well, here's a job offer from the Lord God of heaven. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever considered that? I was talking to a Christian school administrator the other day who's been an administrator of a Christian school for over 30 years. He said, I've seen a lot of changes, Bob. Young people are not responding to the call of God today. They don't pay any attention to it. We don't see them surrendering en masse to preach anymore. Well, what about your future career? What about what you're going to do for a living forever? What about your opportunity to work with God? I've been very fortunate in my life. Since I've been an adult, I've only had 4 jobs. And 4 times, the Lord's given me a boss whom I respect greatly. The Lord's given me a boss that has helped me and that I can talk to and that I can communicate with. There's nothing more miserable in life, young people, to be in the wrong job. There's nothing more miserable than having the wrong kind of boss. Now, when God invites you to come and work with Him and for Him, do you think God would be the right kind of boss? I think He would. I think He would correct you when you need correcting. I think He would reward you when you need rewarding. I think He would place opportunities in front of you that were greater opportunities than you have the ability to do by yourself. And He would help you do the job He called you to. The Puritans used to say, if God calls you to preach, never stoop to be a king. Well, does that sound like a strange statement to you? It must, because most young men today never think about preaching, being in the ministry, serving God. God still needs preachers. And I'm sure there are many of you in this congregation that God's given special gifts to. He's given you the ability to communicate, to talk to other people, to get understanding between you and other people. Have you ever considered, young man, that He might want you in the ministry to preach? Now, when God calls us to work with Him or for Him, that means even if you're in a secular job, you're working for God. Because you're doing that job to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. No doubt many of you are thinking about what you're going to do in the future. Let me encourage you to give consideration to working with and for God. You've been granted an interview. You've been offered a position. Do you ever think about it? Do you ever prayerfully consider it? Does it make any difference to you that the person in the universe that knows everything has offered to work with you and offered to allow you to work with Him? Unfortunately, today, most young men that have great gifts and skills are led by Satan to just think about making money, having the toys of life and things to play with. That's not what life is all about. I can promise you, when you get old, you're going to look back at the jobs you've had and the people you've worked for. And you're going to decide whether or not you're in the right place or the wrong place. But I'm going to tell you something, young people. When you get old, it's not the time to think about that. The time to think about that is right now, while you're young. Put your life into something of value. Something that has eternal value. Something that really means something. What a great invitation. Come work with me. Well, there's some invitations that are not so fun in the darkness of life. Come suffer with me. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come unto me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever shall not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? lest haply after he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish it? Romans 8:18, the Apostle Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us in heaven." Here's where we learn to be more like Christ. Christ suffered. He suffered and died on the cross for you. We will go to any extent not to suffer. We'll go to any extent to keep from doing something we don't like to do. Well, that's why more Christians aren't witnessing for the Lord today. It's a little uncomfortable. People might laugh at you. People might tell jokes about you. And you just don't have the courage to witness for Christ, because it might bring a little pressure and a little suffering to you. One of the greatest stories I heard many years ago was a testimony of a great football player for the National Football League. He went to the University of Georgia. When he checked into his dorm room, he found he had a dorm mate, a young fellow that had asthma, had been very sickly all of his life. That young fellow was a dedicated, godly Christian. Everywhere he went, he carried his Bible. He witnessed to everybody about Christ. At the end of that first week, that football player came in one day and was packing his clothes. And he said to his roommate, "I'm moving. I want to go." This was before they had athletic dorms. He said, "I want to go room with somebody that's an athlete, somebody that's tough. Not a sissy. You run around this campus carrying that Bible under your arm, talking about Jesus all the time. I'm looking for somebody tough." The young man just closed the Bible up and handed it to the football player and said, "Here, you carry it around campus for a while. You talk about Jesus for a while." That football player said he couldn't sleep that night because he realized who the sissy really was. That's the testimony of Fran Tarkington, former quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. Can you suffer for the Lord? You've got an invitation to do that. Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Here's the delights of life. The invitation to come rejoice with me. It's all through the Bible. Come and be happy with me. God said, "You've done a good job. Rejoice in the fact that I've protected you and that you have done what I called you to do, and be happy." There is great joy in serving Jesus. Have we lost that today, young people? I've seen some great changes in Christianity since I've been a Christian. In these few short years, I've seen changes in the people that claim to be Christians. And they're not altogether good changes. But there is joy in rejoicing for those that accept the call of God. There's another one that's a little harder to do, and I won't spend much time on this one. But wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord." Now listen. If there's anything I hate to do is wait on anybody. But you know what? I'm supposed to wait on the Lord. There's poor old Peter in prison. In 3 days he's going to be put to death. You'd think he'd be pretty anxious because God just delivered him on the morning of the day he was to be executed. That's the way God works. He wants us to get full benefit of everything he's teaching us. When the angels came to free Peter, they had to wake him up. That's not the Peter that had lived just before that. He's changed. He's learned to wait on the Lord. He's learned to rest in the Lord. Psalm 37:34, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. And the wicked shall be cut off." Proverbs 20:22. "Say not thou, I will recompense evil for evil, but wait on the Lord." You don't have to get even with people. God will do that for you. And it would change your life if you wait on the Lord's dealing in the lives of those that have wronged you, rather than you try to get even. Well, the last thing I want to show you that's an exciting invitation is a dwelling place forever. Come dwell with me. John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What an invitation to dwell eternally with God in a perfect place. No more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, for the former things are passed away. A city in which there is no liars. We have that invitation. For those of you here that may not be saved, you're turning that invitation down. To dwell in a perfect place forever. What's the 70 or 80 years of this life compared to eternity? Dr. Bob Senior used to say the greatest thought that ever passed through his mind is that he would have to live somewhere forever. Let me tell you something, my friends. You're going to have to live somewhere forever. And you're in the preparation period for that right now. What about the invitations of God? What have you done with them? How excited are you about them? These are great invitations. They bring great peace and great joy to you if you'll but understand them and respond to them. I suggest you get in this Word and accept God's invitations. Father, thank you that you care about us, that you want to be with us, that you've issued to us all of these great invitations. Help us to understand them and to answer them correctly and to accept your invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
May each of us know the peace and joy that come by accepting God's wonderful invitations. Today's message was preached by the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood. Are you interested in getting college training, but you can't afford to be away from home? Now Bob Jones University offers a variety of courses in many different fields through the Office of Extended Education. Whether you're finishing a degree you started years ago, need extra electives, or just looking for a personal enrichment class, the Extended Education Correspondence courses are an affordable way to meet your college requirements without jeopardizing academic credibility. Most courses include video or audio taped classroom instruction, while selected graduate and undergraduate courses are offered over BJU's Live Interactive Satellite Network. To learn more, call and ask for your free copy of the BJU Extended Education Bulletin. Just call us toll-free at 1-866-BJU-RADIO. That's 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Or if you have questions, you can contact the Office of Extended Education directly at 1-888-BJ-EXTED. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to join us next time for another helpful message from the Word of God. Chapel Echoes is an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.